unjust. At the same time, Harvey Milk was elected as an openly gay man to serve San Francisco City Council. Then he was assassinated, and his murderer was sentenced to less than 8 years in prison by demonstrating a Twinkie defense. This was beyond my comprehension of justice. Then there was Anita Bryant with her no homo promos to save the children that got us all to boycott Florida orange juice. How did I learn of these events? From a monthly bar rag called Northwest Fountain that I would pick up at the bar at the end of the night when I didn't pick up anything else. I grew up with the Oregonian delivered to my house every day and read the paper all my life. I worked on my high school newspaper. So it turns out I had newspaper ink running in my veins. It didn't take long after reading about these issues in the Northwest Fountain before I wanted to be a part of the change. The injustices were all so wrong. I went to work for the Northwest Fountain as their women's page editor, which was laughable. How did that happen? Well, I asked the publisher, David Porter. I think this is how anybody gets involved in newspapers. I asked him, why wasn't there any news about women in his paper? And he said, why don't you write it? And so I did. He allotted me an entire page to cover half the community. At the time, I thought that was a great stride. I wrote about women's musicians like Holly Near, Chris Williamson, Mae Christian. I wrote about the happenings at the local feminist bookstore, Woman's Place. And I wrote about everything else I could flush out about lesbians in our community. Mostly because I was curious, because I was hanging out with a bunch of gay men. The community was very segregated back then. It was 1985, and lesbians were leery of the Northwest Fountain and David Porter, and, by association, me. So I didn't get all the information I wanted. Unbeknownst to me, David had issues with alcohol, underage boys, and meeting deadlines. The paper sometimes came out on time, and sometimes it didn't. Even at age 22, I felt an obligation to the community and the advertisers to do better than that. Neil Hutchins came to me with an idea for a new publication called The Cascade Voice and asked me to join that effort. So I did. And I became the editor by its third issue. That's where I met Jay Brown, with whom I would develop a very complicated relationship. We were family to one another over time. And we were the worst enemies to one another over time. And we were like husband and wife to one another sometimes. It was very complicated. But we did good work together. At the Cascade Voice, I was the editor, and he was my associate editor. Now, at the time, there were few lesbian and gay organizations in Portland in the 80s. And so questioning youth and those just coming out had few resources and even fewer positive role models. And the queer community was segregated by gender, race, ability, and politics. And remember, back then, everything was gay. Lesbian and gay wasn't there yet. That came later. And then lesbian, gay, and bisexual came after that. And then year after year, we just started adding letters to the alphabet until everyone felt included. And I think now we're up to LGBTQQI. Is that right, Melanie?
A-A.
Oh, A-A.
X-Y-Z.
Good evening. You've been listening to a pledge drive special of Out Loud, and it's KVOO's winter membership drive. So I want you to go to your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266, or you can make a secure donation online at kboo.fm. I'm Jamie, and I'm a volunteer programmer on KVOO's Labor Radio, which is on Monday nights at this time. And we're thrilled to be on this special, Out Loud special, and to share with you why it's important to support KVOO right now. This is the kind of news and public affairs that you will not get anywhere else in this city or in this state. The kind of history that people in this town aren't familiar with. The history of the the LGBT movement in Portland and its journalistic, the people's journalists, Rene LaChance and Rupert Kennard. This is a history that I'm very familiar with, being an oldster and having joined the gay liberation movement back in the 1970s, and the whole Anita Bryant, Harvey Milk, Oregon Citizens Alliance, Briggs Initiative, and the Just Out publication, which we'll be hearing much more about, and how important it's been for the struggle for social justice, and it's such an important part of the people's media. And here you're hearing about a journalist and how she came to be the kind of spokesperson for the LGBT community that she is. And that's the kind of journalism that we do here at KBOO, and providing this kind of forum for unpopular, controversial, or neglected perspectives. So what you want to do right now is support, not only by listening, but by contributing, because we need you not only to hear and act on the kind of information that we provide you, but we want you to become a member, a part of this community through your dollars. So go to your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm for a secure online donation. You know, KBOO's a labor of love, where these kinds of public affairs programs are researched and written and read by volunteers. You know, we have about 500 people that are involved as volunteers. It's basically a volunteer-run station, but we do have expenses, and we do have a small staff, and we have to pay for the rent for the transmitter and various other expenses, and utilities aren't cheap. And we have news wires. We have Democracy Now! We have Hard Knock Radio. We have equipment repair and replacement. And 80% of KBOO's annual budget comes from you, the listener. So if you love this program, if it speaks to you, and if you want the kind of information that not only tells you what's happening, but why it's happening, and the history of how we got to the place where we are today, you're hearing tonight from Rupert Kennard and Rene LaChance about the history of the LGBT journalism in Portland. You need to be supporting KBOO, your community radio station. So get to that phone, dial 877-500-5266, or make a secure donation online at kboo.fm.
So, again, early 80s, I'm at the Cascade Voice. A press release came over the fax line. Now, back then, we didn't have email or the internet. Things came over a fax machine, and we went through hundreds of pieces of paper every day. Well, the fax was from a mainstream health organization out of San Francisco, and it talked about a rare cancer that was affecting gay men. It was called Kaposi's sarcoma. They eventually started calling it the gay cancer. In this press release, they said that whatever was causing it would become an epidemic and kill thousands. I remember reading that, and it was so unbelievable that I could not believe it. I would not believe it. I could not print a word of it, because it just could not be true. I remember passing it around the office and talking about it with everybody there, and we just all agreed, this must be some propaganda, something to make gay men quit being promiscuous. This cannot be real. And all I can think now is, wow, our denial was deep. And over the next decade, everything in that press release came true. We're dealing with that, and around the same time, pride celebrations in the area were called Gay Pride, and women wanted to change the name to Lesbian and Gay Pride. So a community of people that called themselves TKO did monthly meetings for a year to talk about adding the word lesbian to gay pride. Come on, people. A whole freaking year? Month after month? Processing? Oh, my God. Well, Jay and I would go to those meetings, and we would listen to these people talk, and our consciousness was raised around feminism and racism and gender politics, and we decided that we wanted to bring that message to the Cascade Voice. And the publisher of the Cascade Voice at the time was Neil Hutchins, and he would have none of that. And we would have arguments and fights, and it just felt horrible. Jay and I got involved with Pride that year. He helped with the march, and I helped with the rally. And we were the lucky ones that year. It was when the white man showed up in blackface in an Aunt Jemima costume at the rally. Now, today, we would all, as you all reacted with horror. But then it was like, oh, he's just having fun. It's not racist. You can't make him leave. I was the organizer. I had a woman who was extremely upset by this person, and I could see that all the things that were wrong with his outfit. And I had to ask him to leave. Fortunately, I had the backup of a number of people. But that started a whole debate within the community about, oh, those feminist lesbians, that's not racist. Oh, we're just wanting to have fun. It's just a party, blah, blah. Well, after all of that, and all that process, and all those discussions, Jay Brown and I just got tired of fighting with Neil Hutchins at the Cascade Voice and the other writers who were there at the time, and decided to start our own paper. We had just helped Neil start the Cascade Voice, so we thought, how hard could it be? We just did it. I was young and brash, and Jay believed in me, so off we went to Rupert, where we said, Rupert, we need a design for our paper. And he was like, oh, yeah, you come to me when you're ready to print, rolled his eyes. Yeah. Well, 30 years later, it took that long for it to die. But we started just out, and we had world news and local news and reviews of music and theater and books, 1983. Calendar section, groups, listings, display ads. And let me tell you, that's the most important part of any newspaper, because without them, it doesn't get created or distributed. And our mission was simple: get the word out. The gay men and lesbians are everywhere, and everyone should come out, be visible, be proud of who they are. Closet was still the preferred place for a number of people in the 80s, and we believed that they needed to come out so that we could get our rights. We also felt that the segregation kept our community from reaching its full potential, so we dedicated ourselves to educating about differences and similarities that were important as well. We had discussions of internalized homophobia, racism, feminism, sexism, ableism. Routinely, these things appeared in the pages of Just Out, all to educate and inform our readers so we could become better people and create a more sustainable community. What we didn't know is how much we would need that community. Just Out had many national firsts during the 15 years I sat at her helm. We were the first queer publication anywhere to sustain itself with very little bar advertising. In the first 5 years, there was no bar advertising. Liberal-minded, non-gay advertisers were early adopters of our mission and supported us with their ad dollars. They continued to advertise because Just Out readers were loyal to them. We did surveys every 3 years to document our readers' preferences and loyalties, and this gave us numbers to back up our claims to the advertisers. Just Out readers switched buying loyalties to support businesses that advertise in Just Out. What that means is, if your family always ate Miracle Whip, but suddenly Kraft mayonnaise is advertising, you'd switch to Kraft mayonnaise because it was in your paper. So we became a sought-after commodity. And after 17 years, it took 17 years to secure a Subaru dealership. But what did that do to Portland's audience? How many of you have Subarus?
And this is a special membership drive edition of Out Loud, featuring a panel discussion on the history of the gay press in Portland with Rupert Kennard and Renee Lachance. And we are offering you a unique opportunity, perhaps not unique, but a, would you say, thrice yearly opportunity to become part of this organization, to become a part owner of KBOO, to really feel that pride that you know when you hear that signal that you have done your part to keep it live and keep it running. My name is Sam, and I'm a medium-term volunteer with KBOO. I've only been here a handful of years, and I'm joined with my friend Jamie Partridge, with a bit more experience under his belt, both in activism and in radio. And we are again inviting you to make that call. And what is the number, Jamie?
The number is 877-500.
Hold on, I'm writing that down. 877-500-5266. 5266. And what happens when people call that number?
Well, you go directly to our Pledge Central back here where our volunteers are waiting for your call, and you have an opportunity to make a contribution, no matter how small. The only contribution that's too small is the one you don't make.
I agree with that.
We encourage people to pledge a monthly amount so that we have regular income coming in, and you know, if you make a $60 a year pledge, you can break that up into $5 a month, and it's very reasonable.
Yeah, and if $60 for the whole year is you know, sounds a little much. I mean, I would have a hard time coming up with $60 all at once. But maybe you can find $10 each month to share with your vital community resource and to make sure that it keeps going strong, that it not only survives but it thrives. 877-500-5266, or go online at kboo.fm. Little cartoon jar, it says donate today. And it doesn't say donate, you know, sometime. It says donate today, because that's when we need you to show up so that KBOO can keep showing up for you today, tomorrow, and onward.
You know, this program, Out Loud, is the only LGBT program in Portland.
Is that right?
Yeah. KBOO offers that to the LGBT community, and folks often come on, make announcements to build this movement for justice for LGBT people and to spread the experience and the whole process of making this situation, making our world a better place. Thrive here at KBOO, and so you can do that. You can participate in that, and if you've been a listener like I've been a listener for years and years, it's time to become more than a listener and donate to KBOO at 877-500-5266, or make a secure donation online at kboo.fm.
Yes, and though the terms carry certain connotations in our community, it is time to make that move from passive listener to active supporter. And you do that when you call 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number. You make that call from anywhere in North America. And if you're listening outside of the Portland Metro, you're probably using KBOO.fm, listening to the instant web stream that we are able to provide because so many of your friends and neighbors have answered the call by making the call. They called 877-500-5266. They used the safe, convenient, easy, and secure web form at kboo.fm. You're streaming us over the web. You can see the little cartoon jar right there in the top right-hand corner of the screen. Click on it. Let it take you to that web form. It's very easy. There are drop-downs. You can select a specific program that has motivated and inspired you, and you can select an amount. You can even select a particular thank you gift. That's right. When you say thank you to KBOO for providing you with 168 hours every single week of top-notch quality volunteer-produced programming, you can have KBOO thank you right back with a t-shirt with the KBOO Cowbell, the more KBOO Cowbell. As they say, we've got a fever. The only prescription is more KBOO. And you can make sure that KBOO remains free, independent, fierce, and vibrant, and coming in your ear all the time at when you call 877-500-5266. We're about to go back to a little bit more of what we're asking you to support. So please make that call. Click those clicks now.
You know, we're talking about gifts. We have a exclusive content available only on KBOO's flash drive for if you contribute $75, which sounds like a lot, but if you break it up into monthly chunks, it's only
$6.25 a month.
$6.25 a month. Thank you, brother. It includes a 1969 interview with Pete Seeger. It involves a panel discussion on the history of the gay press in Portland, this particular panel discussion.
That's right.
It's right there on the flash drive.
And we've had to edit this program down a bit, but you can get the entire thing live, whole, well, not live, full and uncut.
And we've got exclusive treasures from the KBOO archives. We have Margaret Mead from 1968, Molly Ivins from 1992, Bell Hooks, Ken Kesey, Paul Robeson, W.B. DuVoy from 1964. It's an amazing trove of archives with KBOO stars and the kind of social justice activists that you only find on this radio, this your radio station. So call in. 877-500-5266. Make that $75 contribution. KBOO.FM and click on the tip jar.
We were the first gay paper to get press credentials to the Democratic National Convention. Jay Brown went in 1988, the year that Michael Dukakis was nominated for president. Do we even remember him? Just out had a U.S. vice presidential candidate on our staff. Harold Moore was a staff member in 1988, and he was chosen by a non-major party candidate, Lenora Filani, to be her vice presidential candidate. And so he took a leave of absence to go run for vice president. He got very sick on the campaign trail and died of complications shortly after the election. So we became the glue, just out became the glue that held Oregon and Southwest Washington's community together during difficult times. The AIDS pandemic began in the 80s, and the queer community in Portland struggled with the loss of thousands. We had to create infrastructure, we had to create support systems, we had to create everything from scratch, and we had very little support from the government, certainly not the federal government. Ronald Reagan didn't mention AIDS until the late 80s. In 1990, Jay Brown would die of AIDS and leave me to pilot the paper with the help of a really great staff and the support of an engaged community. The Oregon Citizens Alliance then started its onslaught, brought ballot measures 8, 9, and 13 to voters during my tenure, created an environment of hate and violence that fractured our rainbow community. Ballot Measure 8 overturned Governor Neil Goldschmidt's executive order that protected us. Ballot Measure 9 would have mandated discrimination in Oregon's constitutional against lesbians and gay men. And Ballot Measure 13 was just, hey, let's try it again because we lost Ballot Measure 9, but we still had to fight it. After one of the debates, one of the first debates around Ballot Measure 8, just out reporter W.C. McCray asked a woman who identified herself as a concerned woman who was sitting next to him at the debate, how can you sit there and hear someone propose the death of people like me when I'm sitting here next to you? And she answered him, why, it's for your own good. After all of that, our community barely had the energy to recover. We had fought outside of us, we had fought inside of us. All we could do is just lick our wounds and try to heal ourselves. We came out of that time stronger. We had survived. We became more organized. We became more visible. We took more chances and risks, and we fought. And we fought hard. Then it seems like a rainbow renaissance began to happen. Celebrities started coming out left and right, and it felt like Just Out's mission was finally a success. As everyone came out, it changed hearts and minds because it was hard to vote against your neighbor or the guy who pumped your gas. Equality measures were passed jurisdiction by jurisdiction, state by state. Still, not half of the United States has equal protections for lesbians and gay men, but we will get there. Same-sex marriage is transforming before our very eyes and may be the catalyst for equality in many states. How can you allow us to marry but deny us employment or housing? We no longer need to furtively grab a gay paper on our way out of the bar and take it home in order to glimpse our lives in other people. Back then, we depended on these publications for news specific to our community, to find our culture, to find our commonality, to get our acceptance. Now, a questioning youth just need to go to their smartphone and say, Siri, where do I find a gay bar in Portland? And she works for them, but not me, because they're younger. And she gives them a bunch of links that answers all of their questions. It's just amazing. So now you can read about LGBTQ news in every urban paper, on internet blogs, on the television. But it's still important to have publications like the PQ Monthly that tell gay stories in a gay way without any interference from other people telling us how to talk. So Jay Brown used to say, when the Oregonian starts printing our news, there won't be a need for Just Out anymore. And then we would laugh. Because that seems so far out. And here we are. You know, I think we wonder about print media, but I still think it's important. The end.
You're listening to a panel on the history of the gay press in Portland, recorded 2 weeks ago in Portland. The next speaker is Rupert Kennard, one of the original staff members with Just Out.
And I want to start out by saying a few things. I'm honored to be here with Renee and absolutely honored to have been a part of the beginning of Just Out.
Oh, thank you.
I really feel as if I would really tell Renee what I think about what it was like for me to be there in those first, in the beginning, but I don't want to be the cause of her crying. So. I also want to acknowledge someone in the audience who is really one of the reasons I am even able to speak in front of a crowd these days, and that would be Kathleen Sadat. I remember very vividly back in the 80s when I was admiring her for being able to speak in front of people, and she told me that she thought that I was someone who could do it, and I told her there was no way. I didn't think I was smart enough. And she really encouraged me and let me know that I was certainly bright enough and analytical enough, and I expressed myself well enough that I could do it. And it was only from that point on that I really believed I can do it, and I've been doing it now for quite a while. So I want to thank her. One of the reasons I'm here is because I attended the last panel that Sandy was so gracious to arrange and organize, the history of Portland's lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, and questioning community. And I was very moved by that panel. And that panel featured Steve Fulmer, Susie Shepherd, Cliff Jones, and Pat Young. And it was quite an intense panel, being a gathering of people who are talking about the history of the queer community here in Portland. One of the things they talked about, a number of things, they talked about the history of Portland Town Council, which was one of the first queer organizations here in Oregon. They talked about the PSU anti-war protests and how those protests went hand in hand with civil rights marches in the country and lesbian and gay liberation at that time, political power of queer music with the formation of the Gay Men's Chorus. They talked about the HIV epidemic and how it brought a new degree of visibility of specifically of gay men and the lesbian community that was very supportive in those struggles. The formation of PFLAG in Oregon, and Cliff Jones specifically shared his perspectives about our history as black people of color in the queer community here in Portland. Each one of those subjects, I thought, would really benefit from having a panel of people. So it was really incredible to have so much talked about, you know, within a short period of time. And even my being here, I don't mind sharing some of my history with the lesbian and gay press, the queer press here in Portland. So with all the things that were talked about during that panel, it struck me that a discussion of queer history of the Portland's queer community, any panel discussion of it, it struck me that the two things that I missed was a discussion of the queer press. Because so much of what was talked about on that panel, the way the community found out about those things was through the queer press. A little bit of my personal history is I was born in Chicago, and I struggled with, obviously, my identity as a gay man and my identity as an African American. And I wanted to share just a few things having to do with one of the reasons that I became an activist within the gay community. And I want to take it back to being in high school, because I thought show and tell was a really good part of how you present things. So this was the front runner was a book that I read, and very influential for a lot of gay men of my generation. The second big influence for me was the play and the movie Boys in the Band. And a lot of gay men really have issues with this play and the movie, but for me, it was very powerful and very positive. And the last publication that really influenced me was this book, The Word Is Out. This was a groundbreaking book when it came out, because it was really my first introduction to the whole concept of coming out. And the interesting thing about this was it really moved me. And after the book was published, there was a documentary made. And I saw the documentary, and really, that was really wonderful for me. And it was a way, it was a good, diverse, this was really one of the first books that I read that really gave me a sense of how diverse the community was. It was a way that it introduced me to a lot of the issues that lesbians were struggling with. And it wasn't until recently, about a month ago, I looked through this book, and even though this book was here basically to share coming out stories, and it has photos of the people, it didn't have any of the people's last names. So even though it was even about coming out, it wasn't even coming out to the point that they were comfortable enough to use their last names. Yeah. So I attended college in Iowa, Cornell College, and during that time, at one point, I created a comic character called the Brown Bomber. And the reason I mentioned that the Brown Bomber is because he ended up being a character featured in a comic strip that ran in my college newspaper every week. When I graduated, towards the end of my college years, I had the comic character who had been in the newspaper for a couple of years come out as a gay character. And it was really quite a step, because people on the campus had really gotten used to the Brown Bomber as almost like a school mascot. And so the connection with that and my moving to Portland was that when I moved to Portland, I really wanted to figure out a way to keep the Brown Bomber going. So I sought out a local lesbian and gay newspaper to see if they wanted to run the comic strip in that newspaper. And so the first newspaper ended up being Northwest Fountain. And the Brown Bomber, the comic strip, ran in the Fountain for a very short period of time. And then I stopped working with the Fountain and started doing illustrations for the Cascade Voice, which is when I met Renee and Jay. And at the time, the reason they came to me when they decided to create a new newspaper is that I was doing design work for Willamette Week. So I had really kind of gained my design chops working with Willamette Week. And it is true, when they came to me and said they were going to start a new newspaper, I chuckled, because Cascade Voice was the big kid on the block. So it seemed unimaginable that they would topple, you know, the big guy. But it is just so important for me to share with you the idea that Just Out was truly born out of wanting to represent the entire community. And I was frustrated with the Cascade Voice for their coverage and their you know, the lack of diversity represented in those pages. So it was really frustrating. So during that time, I was also doing some work for Portland Town Council. And one of the things I did for Portland Town Council that I was really proud of was that I was producing and designing their newsletter. And so it's really interesting to me the relationship of newsletters at that time with the lesbian and gay publications that were being printed, because there was a lot about those newsletters of different organizations that was another way of getting news out to the community.
What an amazing program. You're listening to a Pledge Drive special of Out Loud and listening to a commentary by Rupert Kennard and Renee Lachance, some of the founding members of Just Out, a pioneering magazine here in Portland, founded on the premise of inclusion, of bringing all the aspects of the LGBT community together and moving the whole movement forward. And that's what we're here what's what we're about here in at KBOO is inclusion. Share the values at KBOO that we have of human rights, democracy, peace, justice, multiculturalism, and freedom of expression and social change, then you want to support this program and this radio station by contributing here at our Pledge Drive, because we do need your financial support. And we want you to pick up your phone and call 877-500-5266 or make a secure online donation at kboo.fm. Is that right, Sam?
It is right. And, you know, Mr. Kennard I don't know if he actually ever said this, but listening to the general gist of his remarks, I'm struck how even within one marginalized community, you still have, that doesn't mean issues of other kind of isms don't still exist. You've still got race, you've still got class, you've still got religion. It can fracture and like create factions even within a sexual minority, just as, you know, any combination of other things, you know, within any other, like within a religious minority, they'll have issues of sexuality, they'll have issues of race and class. It's always a struggle to get everyone together and on the same page. And that's one of the purposes that KBOO serves in the greater Portland metro and the several communities that KBOO serves throughout the metro area. And that's what you're supporting when you call 877-500-5266. You are buying for yourself and for the rest of your community, all the groups, all the diverse people within your community, kind of a clearinghouse of information and ideas, and kind of an electronic bulletin board where like-minded folks can get together and folks of unlike minds can kind of hear each other speak and hear each other speak their own truths and see learn where they have commonalities and learn where the gaps are that they can then reach across and all come together for the achievement of common goals. That's what you're supporting when you help us reach our fundraising goal. We're trying to raise $94,000 by Saturday, and it's not easy. And it's something that we can all do together. 877-500-5266.
That's right, Sam. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank all the restaurants that have contributed to help support this KBOO Pledge Drive. We have Jam at 2239 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. We have Voodoo Donuts at 1501 Northeast Davis, Arabian Nights at 1434 Southwest Park Avenue, and Le Bistro Montage at 301 South Morrison Street. Thank you so much, restaurants, for contributing to the KBOO Pledge Drive.
Thank you, Jamie. And we're going to go back to the program in just a minute. Those folks that Jamie mentioned, what they do is food. And it made sense for them to feed our volunteers when you call 877-500-5266. They'll be fed and ready to take your call. Or maybe you'll use the online form, kboo.fm. However you do it, just do it right now.
I also ended up being on the board of directors of Portland Town Council. And so that was another position there that I really enjoyed. I really feel like the growing pains of our community in terms of us trying to understand the diversity and the differences of opinions in our community was reflected in the pages of Just Out and lesbian and gay publications across the country. It was within the pages, it was in our community where there was that discussion about adding lesbians to, gay pride. That was in our community, and that discussion and that controversy was reflected not only in Portland newspapers, but I think publications around the country. I think it was the obligation of the queer press at every point of its history to be honest enough to really represent the entire community within that, within that community. I liked that being a part of the queer press, our obligation was to share with the community local news, national news, and international news. I thought that was really a wonderful thing that papers really accomplished. I feel like identity analysis happened within the pages of our publications. Really analyzing, as Renee said, there was a point where the community was only known as the gay community, then the lesbian and gay community, then lesbian, gay, bisexual. And I think it was really a great obligation to encourage the communities that, our community to have a lot of those discussions. So I feel like at where we are right now with our publications, and one of the things I really wanted to do here was really celebrate the history of what we have accomplished. But the other thing is to realize where we were then and where we are now. And I feel like where we are now is a result of the power of coming out. As Renee said, there's no way, as we kept coming out, there's no way that people can say that they don't know a lesbian, gay, transsexual, bisexual person. And it's, I guess the other thing, coming out led us where we are now, and as Renee also said, the popularity of the internet is something that makes me reflect on what the challenges are for the publications of today. I think Renee really got it right. It's the place where you really get more a sense of your community. It's not as immediate as the net, but I just think it's another, there's a great place for the publications that are out now, for our community. Just recently, I was in the car with Scott, and we drove past a high school, and we saw two young men holding hands. And it was a really great thing to see, and it was a really wonderful way to reflect on the part that a number of us have played in getting, young people to where they are today. And I think there's just something really humbling and something really, I think, for us to be proud of, those of us who have been involved in the lesbian and gay press, the queer press. And I just really am grateful to be here to talk a little bit about other people's perception of what the community press has meant to them, and would really like to have that discussion. Thanks.
Well, I love telling the story of how we got the name Just Out, because it was an August afternoon. Jay and I had decided to leave the Cascade Voice, and we knew if we had it, we had to have a name for the paper, because I need to work that way. So we took Jay's trusty Roger's thesaurus down to Waterfront Park with my little dog, Punky, a little black and white curly thing. And we laid on the grass and enjoyed the sun and got out the book and started thinking, well, what are we going to call it? Well, it's got to be Out. Yeah, it's got to be Out. Well, let's look up Out. Okay, let's look up Out. So we're looking out, up, out. In the thesaurus, and it says something, something, just out, something, something. We both went, ah, that's it, just out. And we knew instantly. And after that, we were ready to go.
One of the other things that I would want to share too is after working with. Just out in the beginning, eventually moving to the Bay Area, I immediately started working with a number of publications there. I worked for a paper that was called Coming Up, which eventually changed to the Bay Times. And then from there, I ended up working for San Francisco Sentinel. And I worked there for a couple of years as art director. And the reason I bring that up is working with those papers, I ended up being a part of the National Lesbian and Gay Press Association at that time. And one of the things I really appreciated when the conference was held in San Francisco one year, and then I think the next year it was held in Boston, one of the most impressive things that happened was that I was there basically representing a Bay Area newspaper. But so many of the other representatives of lesbian and gay newspapers all over the country, when they found out that I had been associated with Just Out, it was amazing to me the presence Just Out had in the consciousness of so many other publications. So it really was so much more of a trailblazer than I think people in Portland ever knew.
That's because we broke the advertising mold.
Yeah. Hello there. We're out here at Pledge Central talking to you about the history of lesbian and gay journalism in Portland with Rupert Kennard and Renee Lachance, who are the founders of Just Out, an amazing publication that focused on inclusion of all the different diverse aspects of the LGBT community. And not only gave folks the news, but helped them organize to change. You know, the Portland's known as a progressive city, and it didn't become that way overnight by accident. And Just Out is one of the reasons that Portland is as progressive as it is, and as the LGBT rights community is as far along as it is. And 40 years of KBOO, day in and day out, has set the agenda and molded the minds of Portlanders. And if you're one of these progressive Portlanders who appreciates listening to KBOO, now's the time to step up and contribute. You just go to your phone and dial 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and make a secure online donation.
Yeah, and I'm going to use my find and replace thing, and I'm going to type in find if, replace with because. Because you're one of those progressive-minded Portlanders, call 877-500-5266 because you value KBOO as a resource for a source for the sort of information that other media don't cover, because you want to make sure that KBOO not only survives but thrives in its next 45 years of continuous broadcast. That's over 23,626,000 minutes without ever telling you, without ever handing your ear bones over to an advertiser to propagandize you into buying crap that you don't want or need. This is important to you, and that's why you're going to go to online at kboo.fm, and you will use the safe, convenient, easy, and secure web form to make your fully tax-deductible 501c3 type charitable donation right now. You are going to divest from the war machine of U.S. imperialism keep your dollars circulating within your community and using it to pay all the bills incurred in bringing you top-notch quality homegrown locally produced, volunteer-driven radio, because you know that this will not happen unless you do it. 877-500-5266.
That's right, Sam. You know, I was a listener for almost 40 years before I contributed a dime to KVOO. Yes, you know, I was a listener from the beginning. And this kind of programming, like Out Loud, and we were with the lesbian gay community from the beginning. And what happened? You know, what caused me to fall off the listener wagon into the contributor and membership wagon? I got one of those newfangled cell phones, and so when they said, call now, go to your phone, it was right there. It was right there in my pocket.
Your phone had come to you.
You know? And I imagine a number of our listeners probably have their personal communication device like right there, right?
It's probably right in your purse, in your pocket, in your hand, perhaps. So why not enter this 10-digit code, 877-500-5266, and hit that green button marked talk and see what happens. I predict that you will be connected with an enthusiastic and friendly and helpful volunteer who will walk you through all the steps necessary to get $50, $60, $118 of your dollars into KVOO's piggy bank to ensure at least one more year of hard-hitting investigative reporting, of wide-ranging music and arts and culture programming, and deep analysis in public affairs and news, because that's what KVOO does. And we have done everything we can to strip all the extraneous costs. There are almost no overhead. We do not pay any of the programmers anything. They're doing it because it's important to them. And you will be making your donation because it's important to you. And it's not, while it's considered for tax purposes a donation, you're actually buying something. You are receiving something in return for your input, and that is 168 hours a week of non-stop radio, of top quality radio that no one else will dare try to make, because they cannot find a way to make money off of telling you about the history, the struggles, and the triumphs and the tears of the LGBTQ activists in Portland. Wherever you fall on the gay BCs, this is your radio, and that means you're responsible for it. So you can take that, but everyone else in the community is responsible as well. We're spreading it around, so everyone just does a little bit. Do your little bit right now. Call 877-500-5266. Join your pennies, nickels, and dimes, and turn with those of your neighbors, and turn your pocket change into social change. We're going to go back to wrapping up this program. Make the call now. 877-500-5266.
It blew their minds.
Well, it was that, and it was just...
Oh, and we included lesbians. Yeah, that was...
Right. And I have to say, it also has something to do with design.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. And we had such a beautiful, well-put-together publication.
See, she says that now, but
no,
see...
No, I mean it.
When I would go back and look at old issues of Just Out, I'd be horrified, thinking, ooh, they were awful, but I would remember that we got that award. First year in existence, we got the Lesbian and Gay Press Association Award for Design. And I only say that because the idea that Just Out, every lesbian and gay queer newspaper around the country, we all had subscriptions to other newspapers.
Yes.
So they would get Just Out, and they would look at Just Out, and they'd kind of look at their paper. And I like to believe that they were basically saying, we need to step it up. And it was something about representing our community with newspapers that looked like they were high school newspapers. It was still important to get the information out, but there was something about the visual representation that didn't make the paper seem as serious. So, you know, that was another thing that I do think that we really, you know, knew that we were doing around the country, was really kind of setting another standard for the way the papers were presented.
Well, we had a style manual. We had, if we were going to do a certain type of story, it would be in a certain font. The headline would look like this.
Yes.
The body copy would look like this. Nothing was left to chance in the design. Rupert came up with this style manual that we followed to the T. And also we had an editorial style manual that Marvin Moore created for us. That's what we needed. He created, if you're going to write this word, you write it this way every time. If you're going to use this phrase, you're going to say it this way every time. I was like, who knew all this stuff needed to be put into writing? Don't you just, you know, type and go. No, no, you have to do it this way. And we did. And having those standards and that protocol really helped with anything that ever came up. You know, how are we going to handle this story? How are we going to do the graphics for this? It was always just spelled out. But I wanted to answer Pat's second question, which is my favorite issue. I don't, but I do. I am partial to the first issue with the Dyketones on the cover, and that was our bait. We were building a community. We were creating things out of nothing. We were developing people, I guess. I still look back at it, and I'm just in awe at what we did. It's like, well, and I think we were able to do it because we just didn't know any better. But you just have to be kind, gentle, listen, and have some boundaries. And I'd be happy to come and talk with you anytime.
This program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
The time is 7:00. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Hard Knock Radio is next.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's history. It's history. Never been done before.
Want to say what's up to everybody. Welcome to another edition. Today is the day that we fight back, and we're going to talk about the protest that is going on all over the planet to save the internet and to stop mass surveillance.
All that and more coming up after the afternoon headlines.
This is M1 from Dead Press.
Hey, what's up? This is Boots from The Coup.
Nah, I mean, telling you to stay tuned to Hard Knock Radio.
Keep it locked.
On the move, this is Pam Africa on Hard Knock Radio, the station of resistance. Down with this rotten-ass system.
Yo, check this out. Hard Knock Radio coming at you. Bringing the noise. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one. News, views, and hip-hop.
Peace and love. This is Azeem. You're listening to Hard Knock Radio. Real radio. From the concrete up. All the way to the sun. Keep shining, y'all. One love.
What's up, folks? This is your girl Femi representing the whole Bay Area. I'm here on Hard Knock Radio. News, views, and hip-hop. Stay tuned.
Somebody, somewhere, tell it. Have it. Brothers and sisters, you harass them. And in the old homes, you blast them. Away with guns. It ain't fun if you think so, your scum is wrong. They have the right to live and give like you or me. Who's more primitive? The government. Prisoners are pleaders, freedom for believers. Why? You children have to suffer. They are the future and the future's getting rougher. And tougher. In township there's violence, death brings sadness and silence. How long has this been going on? Tell it ain't there. Somebody, somewhere, tell it ain't there.
checking out the sounds of the Cookie Crew. I always love them. Good way to start things off. And as we kind of stimulate you with some insightful lyrics, we wanted to bring attention to something that I think all of us need to be concerned about. And we're talking about the day of protest that is going on all over the planet to deal with mass surveillance. We're talking about the NSA, them collecting all this data. They have a couple of bills that is going to be presented before Congress, and we want to make sure that people are brought up to speed. And joining us from one of the organizations that has been helping lead the charge and turn things around is Josh Levy from Free Press. Josh, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
You know, for people who aren't familiar, what is at stake here today and why is there such a mass protest online?
Today is kind of the culmination of almost a year's worth of protesting that's been taking place since we found out about the NSA's massive surveillance program, thanks to the Edward Snowden revelations. And, you know, people have engaged online before when we launched the Stop Watching Us coalition and the petition in the aftermath of those revelations. People have rallied in Washington, D.C. More than 5,000 people joined us in October to protest these programs and to call attention to the reforms that we need to make. And now this is the next step in all of that. This is the time for the internet at large around the world and here at home to make its voice known and to tell Congress in the U.S. that it needs to pass real strong reforms to stop the NSA from spying on everything that we're doing online. So this is just part of this very long continuum of action that's been taking place.
There are two bills that I mentioned. Can you explain to us what those bills are and what they'll do?
Sure. One is called the USA Freedom Act, and that is a good bill. It's a bill that would actually rein in the NSA's metadata collection programs where they're collecting everybody who the names of people we call, when we call them, from where we call them,